We wonder how Jesus will become the exalted King when we have today's reading. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Well, here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Now, as far as I can see, there's nothing in that passage about prayer, nor repentance, nor renewal. However, Ben said I could expand or add another passage. Well, I'm going to change the title to Mary at the Cross, Her Sacrifice, Jesus' Sacrifice and Ours. Today is Mothering Sunday, as you will have noticed, and it always happens in the period we call Lent. Today is the fourth Sunday of Lent, and it's commonly known as Mother's Day. What do you do on Mother's Day? Well, we've heard quite a lot about that already. Do you take your mum a bunch of flowers and some cakes and buns, or do you invite her for lunch? You're allowed to do that in Lent because the fourth Sunday in Lent, or Litere Sunday for you Latin scholars, is also a refreshment Sunday when you're allowed to break your fast and have roast beef and two veg instead. It's also called Mid-Lent Sunday or Rose Sunday, so-called because the liturgical colours of the season, or vestments and altar hangings in some churches, are replaced with rose. And that's why I've got a rose-coloured candle here, which I made earlier. And I'm wearing a rose-coloured, or vaguely rose-coloured, tie. Well, it's one of two refreshment Sundays during Lent, and traditionally no flowers would be around, and the candles would not be lit, so I'm not going to light that candle. And all psalms would be said instead of sung. It's like austerity. Remember that from the previous government? I couldn't find any rose-coloured clothes to wear today. And this one on the left would have taken a bit from India. But what do you think of this nice rose-coloured altar hanging? A bit pricey, £5,000, but I think it would look very nice here, don't you? Now, not surprisingly, most Anglican churches don't invest in rose hangings just for two Sundays a year. Now, if your mum is too far away, you might send her a Mother's Day card, which, of course, you bought earlier and put in the post, didn't you? Or some flowers. And every year, Sue, my wife, looks out eagerly on the Saturday to see if something's come in the post. And indeed it did this year, so she's very happy. She's happy if she gets a phone call or a WhatsApp message. However, I have news for you. Mothering Sunday was originally nothing to do with mothers. Originally, it was a day for honouring mother churches, the church where you were baptised and became a child of the church. So, strictly speaking, I should be going back to Barnet in London, where I was baptised as an infant, or christened, and here's my certificate. And here is the church now. I went to that church with my mum and my sister for some years, and to the Sunday school next door, where we heard Bible stories and we wrote on slates. I can't remember much else, but anyway. As you can see, it's now quite a lively church. They have Alpha courses and everything. And they no longer use the 1662 Book of Common Prayer. Sarah, on the other hand, my daughter who's with us today, was baptised at Earlstone Baptist Church. She can't go back there, but this is the nearest thing. A successor. So, historical interlude. Mothering Sunday has been celebrated since the Middle Ages, and it's called that because the lectionary, or Bible texts read during the Mass then included several references to mothers and metaphors for mothers. So here we have the introit, or opening, for the day, Isaiah 66. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad ye. Be ye glad for her, all ye that delight in her. Exult and sing for joy with her, all ye that in sadness mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations. And then the psalm included Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, we will go into the house of the Lord. During the Reformation period, the Mother Church was either the church where one was baptised, or the local parish church, or it might be the nearest cathedral. So anyone who did this was commonly said to have gone mothering. So Sarah's gone a mothering today. Later on, it became a day when your domestic servants were given a day off to visit their mother church. And I'm sure you've all given your servants a day off today. Yes, I'm sure. In my case, I was baptised again at Colchester Road Baptist Church by immersion, so perhaps I should go there instead, except the building's no longer there, they replaced it. Anyway, in the early 20th century, there was a Mothering Sunday movement started in 1913 to honour the Mother Church, mothers of earthly homes, the Virgin Mary and Mother Nature. Now, thanks largely to the American Mother's Day tradition and the greetings card industry, of course, it has become Mother's Day in our country, a secular celebration of mothers and motherhood. And apologies to those who would like to be mothers but can't, and those who may be estranged from their mothers or are adopted. But we return to today's passage, and there is a link because the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, is at the cross with some other women and the Apostle John. Strangely, John never mentions her by name. In fact, he only mentions her at all in one other place, the wedding at Cana, John chapter 2. And this passage is the first mention of Mary Magdalene. Now you would think that John, having been told by Jesus that in effect he was now adopted by Mary, would have a close relationship with her. And when he wrote his gospel, there'd be plenty about Mary, but there wasn't. He doesn't even name her. But he does include this brief incident, which the other gospels do not. And now I come onto the theme of sacrifice, for we are in Lent. And as you know, sacrifice is central to Lent. When the very young Jesus was presented at the temple for the purification ceremony, the prophet Simeon said to Mary and Joseph, his parents, "A sword will pierce through your own heart, your own soul also." Imagine you had a son who was a genius. He could compose music at 4, and then went on to solve differential equations at 6. He didn't go to university, he had no GCSEs or A-levels, but he became a brilliant orator, a debater, a storyteller. Everyone flocked to hear him. And by the way, he could do miracles. Imagine what might have happened if Jesus had been supported by his closest rivals, the Pharisees, and by the Sadducees and others. He was the cleverest guy around, and he would have risen to a top position, like chief rabbi today. Maybe he'd be the high priest. He would make those great rabbis like Gamaliel and Shammai and Hillel look like beginners. What mother wouldn't be proud of that? Instead, because he challenged the ruling powers, he was put in prison and executed. This is not so different a story today in many countries. The grief borne by Mary and the other women, plus his disciples, must have been enormous. Disappointment, anger, shame, loss, sadness, despair. Mothers, and I include here foster mothers and adoptive mothers here, and especially those who have given up children for adoption, make sacrifices. Besides the estimated cost of £200,000 for raising a child to adulthood, there is the pain and risk of childbirth, sometimes many weeks of morning sickness, sleepless nights, giving up jobs to care for them, all the stuff you have to buy to keep them safe, schooling, numerous extra expenses, and all the worry about how they'll turn out in the end. No wonder our birth rate is going down. Mary didn't have all that, but a sword did certainly pierce her soul. Nothing would have kept her from being with Jesus at Golgotha, witnessing that awful spectacle and human humiliation. She has certainly made a sacrifice. But of Jesus' sacrifice, I have little to say because we talk about it and sing about it all the time in church, and we have commemorated it here at the communion. The Eucharist, sometimes, that's thank you in Greek. Jesus, Messiah, anointed one, Son of God, Word of God, came from heaven, became flesh and blood to live with us. He ministered, he taught and healed, yet he was rejected and condemned to a humiliating and painful death. He made sacrifices from the start. In his 40 days in the wilderness by rejecting the easy way to glory and power, and in his ministry by choosing to stay away from publicity and honours, by his determined path to Jerusalem despite knowing what it would lead to, and in Gethsemane, choosing to carry on with his Father's will. And it cost him his life, the ultimate sacrifice, which we remember in the bread and wine of communion. And now to our sacrifice and to the theme of Lent. On 18th of February, Ash Wednesday, which is the start of Lent, Bedford Borough Council wished their residents on Facebook a happy Lent. Oh, I've gone too far. Can we go back? Yeah, there we go. A happy Lent, the period of 40 days when many Christians may choose to give up certain luxuries and make space to reflect, pray and lead and read the Bible to prepare for the celebrations of Easter. Not a bad summary of the purpose of Lent, though Lent isn't exactly a happy time. I'll come onto that later. However, on 17th of February, the day before, they had sent another message. Happy Ramadan for all members of our community who are observing their fast. The month of Ramadan is also known for prayer, reflection, and community. Nothing wrong with that either, you would think. But a multitude of people with nothing better to do than waste their time on social media complained that this is a Christian country, so why is Ramadan being given precedence to Lent? The council got out of that very well by saying that they cannot be held responsible for the decision taken at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, when the date for Easter was set, nor for the formation of the moon 4.5 billion years ago, as the moon determines the date of Ramadan. But happy Lent, commonly it's a time to give up alcohol or chocolate or TV. Sarah and Phil gave up TV last year for Lent.
I'm not doing that this year.
Not this year. Sugar, sweets or social media. But here's a quote from a recent newsletter. Beginning on Ash Wednesday, the placing of ashes and dust mixed with oil on the forehead represents a sense of grieving for what Jesus endured. The ridicule, the abandonment, suffering and his execution for blasphemy. There is much in the biblical accounts leading up to the crucifixion that expose the reality of human sin. We see anger, violence, power, expediency, self-interest, denial, lies, disloyalty and betrayal, to name a few. Nothing much has changed in this respect. Lent is a time of prayer, fasting, sacrifice and deep reflection. Humility and our flawed human nature meet in repentance and sorrow at the reality of human nature. Here's another short historical interlude. The Lent tradition of a 40-day fast before Easter has been around since at least 325 AD. In those days, eating flesh, that is meat, and drinking wine were forbidden, also dairy product and eggs, I think. Why 40 days? Well, 40 is a significant number in the Bible. Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness. Moses fasted 40 days before receiving the covenant tablets on the mountain. Elijah traveled 40 days and 40 nights till he reached Horeb. For 40 days, the flood kept coming upon the earth, and the pagan city of Nineveh was given 40 days to repent by the prophet Jonah, he of the big fish, proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. But what is Lent for? Why do it? What is the purpose of Lent? Traditionally, there are three pillars: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. These are all sacrifices. Prayer sacrifices our time. Fasting sacrifices our comfort, and almsgiving sacrifices our money. As preparation for Easter, it's also a time for repentance, reflection, and penitence. Of course, Christians should be doing that all the time. Keep a short account of sin, some say, and every time we say the Lord's Prayer, we remember our shortcomings and ask for forgiveness. But it's a voluntary self-denial. We don't have to go to the traditional extent of giving up all meat, dairy, and alcohol. One Lent, Sue and I gave up single-use plastic, which was quite a struggle and not entirely successful. There are sacrifices that benefit other people. As well as almsgiving, there's giving your time to visiting other people, talking to people, acts of kindness, even preparing a sermon, inviting someone for a meal. The list is endless. And there are sacrifices which benefit our environment and society in general: litter picking, joining voluntary organisations. Or there are sacrifices which benefit only us: going to the gym and giving up foods and certain foods and alcohol. I don't like those so much personally. None of these are necessarily fun. Lent tradition, then, is not a fun time. It's for the benefit of our souls and for others. Even if it's just a challenge, it can make us appreciate good things more afterwards, and it can develop self-control. So, to summarise, I've talked about Mary's sacrifice, pictured at the cross, and how mothers, and most fathers, make sacrifices for their children. And about Jesus' sacrifice, his humble birth, his life and ministry, his death. And about our sacrifice, prayer, fasting and almsgiving, or other challenges, should we choose to accept them. But sacrifices are not just for Lent. Sue is addicted to watching Call the Midwife at the moment. I hear a murmur of assent to that. Nuns are not usually mothers, and midwives are sometimes not. But in one episode, Sister Monica Joan said, "When I was a novice, I found Lent the hardest season. Not for the hardship of self-sacrifice, that I willingly embraced, but for the absence of nature's beauty in the chapel, I always found it an invaluable aid to spiritual labour. But then I encountered a passage that gave great illumination. It is not the penance that we choose that is pleasing to God. It is the setting aside of ego and the submission to his will." So, happy Lent, everyone. Happy Mother's Day. But even if we don't follow a Lent tradition of austerity or giving something up, how can we set aside our ego and submit to his will?